Okay, welcome back to another episode of Mary and Andy Geek Out.
I'm Mary, he's Andy.
As usual, nothing has changed yet. But
what are you implying?
I don't know. Time travel? There is some time travel shenanigans going on for this episode. But anyway, welcome back. We are reviewing, as usual, Teen Titans. This time we are covering Season 4, Episode 4, 5, and 6. Episode 4 is Cyborg the Barbarian, where Cyborg goes back in time and fights a whole bunch of green monsters and gets the hots for the chief.
Episode 5 is Employee of the Month, where Beast Boy gets a part-time job, saves the world, gets a moped.
Yes. All of which are very important. And then finally, Episode 6, Trock, is the racism episode, basically, where
Starfire gets called a slur.
Basically, Starfire gets called a slur, and we'll have a lot to unpack on that one.
Most of which we white people are unequipped for, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yes, two of the best of our ability. You know what's funny about these three episodes is that each of them centered on a particular Titan. Normally we get like a mix of some kind of maybe like a season. Yeah, like a paired episode, a season episode, or a villain-centered
episode. A silly episode.
Yeah.
Villain-centered.
But Here we have a Cyborg episode, a Beast Boy episode, and a Starfire episode. So it's kind of like back-to-back-to-back, which is kind of nice. So basically, those three are getting the spotlight right now. And so it's kind of interesting to start comparing the three from each other. So let's dive into episode 4 then, Cyborg the Barbarian. Basically,
there's a lot about this episode I don't like, but we'll get into it.
There's a few things that I do like. For instance, at the intro, Cyborg's basically, he's hamming it up
redone all the electronics in the Titan's Tower.
Yeah, and so Robin's like, do you think this is necessary?
Crime fighting.
Yeah, and Cyborg's like, but I got a waffle iron. And this is where the famous line that Raven says,
evil beware, we have waffles.
It's so, like, waffles were always the go-to for humor in that time.
I know, and you know what's funny about this is that when she says that line, I was just like, oh my god, that's so funny, because like earlier, like, yeah, you know, like in the previous season, Cyborg, when he's going haywire, says,
ooh, you know what'd be fun? Let's all go out for waffles. Raven, you like waffles, don't you?
More than life itself.
So it's really funny. This is definitely, I guess Raven just really likes waffles, and everyone on the team knows it. So, really good humor. And I guess it's where part of the Teen Titans love waffle shtick comes from, which I definitely appreciate because I also love waffles a lot. Anyway,
so yes, the episode opens with Cyborg showing off all this unnecessary technology. For some reason, the thing that he's excited about showing off before he disappears is the volume,
the stereo, pretty much, the speakers.
The equalizer?
Yeah, the equalizer.
And he touches it, and he disappears.
Yeah.
Which Beast Boy said is like, okay, everybody saw that wasn't in my fault, right?
Yeah.
Which is funny because, yeah, he's got an amazing track record of touching technology and ruining everything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we even commented on the previous episode how there's like a switch that says, don't press it unless it's an emergency, Beast Boy, that means you. Really nice continuity there. So Cyborg gets taken to the past. He has no idea why he's... It's like 3000 BC. He has no idea why he's in the
past.
It's
not like 3000 BC. He looks at his watch.
Oh, yeah.
And it says it's 3000 BC, which... That is some amazing high-tech equipment that adapts to time travel.
I know, right?
It's like, oh, you are now in the past zone.
And so he gets dropped into a battle. Basically, you have all these people with, like,
a bunch
swords.
Of humans and a bunch of not humans.
Like, they're kind of, like, green insectoid-like creatures.
They're
slimy.
They're kind of, like, tech-looking. They burst into slime when you stab them.
Yeah, they're very Samurai Jack villains, now that I think of
them. Yes.
Like, you know, like, they're very, like, something Samurai Jack
would
have
fought.
These
aren't people. You can kill a bunch of them brutally. It's okay.
Yeah. And, of course, first, Cyborg has that hilarious kind of moment, like, oh, my God, I must not touch anything here or else I'll disrupt the time continuum. And then he's just like Homer Simpson in that Treehouse of Horror special. He's like, screw it. Nope. I'm just going to help everyone fight these monsters. And he does, which comes with the trade-off being that since there's no battery juice around, he can't charge himself up. So yes. He has to be very conservative about how he uses his energy.
As soon as he gets back home, he installs solar panels all over himself.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because... you should really think about investing into some renewable sources of some kind.
Yeah, like if you can literally die because you're not near an outlet.
Right.
Like, he could die if he was overseas because he forgot to get an adapter.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't even have to be much. It can just keep his basics going.
That
would have
been funny if that was a subplot in the Tokyo movie.
Oh my God, that would have been funny. And so, basically, this episode is him trying to, like, survive this...
And help these people.
Right. And so, it's really nice to see this kind of balance.
Yes. So, two things occur during the fight. Mm-hmm. One, there's a classic heroic Conan type who's like, stand and fight, don't be a coward. And there's this one badass that kind of fights alongside Cyborg, who has a full helmet, which leads to one... detestable trope where she takes off her helmet, and as you can tell by my choice of pronouns, she was a woman this whole time. And also hot.
Yeah.
Hate that trope. One, because it's overused, it's just straight up sexist.
Right.
Because, like, the implication that we would assume that this warrior wasn't a woman is a bad place to start.
Right.
There's so many better things you could reveal.
Right.
Like, it was like an ancestor, or they got a mutation, or they're not human.
Right.
Like, a lot of cool stuff you could do that with that trope, but they only ever do it for underestimating women.
Right, exactly.
Not to mention, like, she's the only woman, she's the chief.
Mm-hmm.
But she's the only woman in her army.
Certainly looks like that.
Yes, there are some other fully covered warriors, but based on the fact that everyone else seems to be a burly dude,
right?
It seems like warrior women aren't commonplace.
Right.
And there's no reason for that after they establish that the chief is fighting. Anyway, you get it.
No, that's a valid point. I think it'd be much stronger since they keep highlighting how their village is in danger and
constantly,
everyone was fine.
Yeah,
constantly. That you would see more of, like, both genders helping out.
Although it's also funny because, like, there are entirely different character models for the normal villagers and the warriors.
Yeah.
Like, when we go to the town and see everybody going about their business, raising their children, doing crafts, talking, farming, there's not a single burly dude in sight. All the dudes are skinny. All the women are standard DC women. And then suddenly they have to fight, and these burly men burst out of nowhere. I guess they were napping the rest of the time.
They gotta conserve their warrior juice.
Yes.
Yes, and so he meets her.
Yes.
And she's like, you're pretty impressive.
It's forced romance at first sight.
Yeah, there's virtually, like, spoiler alert, they basically kiss at the end of the episode, and there's no chemistry whatsoever.
Like, the only chemistry they have is, like, as brothers in arms.
Right.
And there's really nothing romantic. It's just like, oh, she's hot, and he's hot.
Yeah.
And also help protect our people, that's nice. And then they smooch.
Yeah, the, Cyborg and Bumblebee, like, have, like, much better chemistry. And I just picked Bumblebee as an example because, like, the first time you see her, like, they instantly have, like, this bit of a rivalry thing going on here.
Yes, and then eventually a recognition of each other's things. I still don't ship it.
No, I'm just giving that as an example. But yes,
Jinx had better chemistry, and that was just like,
yeah, you know, that's crush. True. Yeah, it is true. It does seem to have better. Yeah, the chief is very unfortunately flat as a character.
Yes, like, she's the worst kind of action girl.
Yeah,
where all it is she is action and has no personality outside of that.
Right. Leadership.
Yes, she is in charge and she fights good.
Right.
She does not make jokes. She does not
have a quirk.
She does not have a quirk.
Or anything like that.
Yes.
So, yes.
She's, like, blandly attractive.
Yeah, there's... That definitely, of the episode, definitely falls apart.
Also, they're all wearing stone armor. Which has nothing to do with sexism, but I'm like, ow.
So, there's that part of the episode. But one thing that I like about this episode, in terms of it being a cyborg episode, is it kind of... Because a lot of times for these cyborg episodes, it draws sharp attention to him being a man or a machine.
Yes.
And like, you know, when he's facing against Felix. Fix it. It's just fix it. I keep thinking fix it, Felix.
I can fix it.
I can fix it. Okay. When he faces against Fix It or Atlas, for instance, like it's a very,
It's about his duality.
Yeah. Here, his duality comes into play, but it's in a more, like, interesting setting. I like it that he has to...
It was a good extension of those themes they keep doing. Like, it's like, what does he do if he can't recharge?
Right. It's not him questioning about who he is as a person. Yes. It's just him just trying to...
Not die. Also do the right thing.
Yeah, and I think, I feel like in a way they could have expanded on Cyborg's ability to think outside the box to, like, be technologically savvy.
In 3000 BC?
In 3000 BC. There's actually a moment here which I'm just like, this doesn't make any physical sense whatsoever, but it's Teen Titans, where he's trying to charge up his battery.
Under his own power.
Yeah, yes. He's cranking this wheel or whatever to charge his own self up, and I'm like, what? How does this make sense? And so he busts the machine and he thinks it's like doomed. And at the end of the episode, like the people basically took his gear and hook it up to the river, and they basically made like he's powered by water now. He's powered by a renewable resource. And it's like you could have probably thought about that earlier, like, but maybe he's just so ingrained in the electrical engineering aspect that he's just like didn't even think anything like it.
Yes. So, in addition to Cyborg losing his power, the other dude that he fought alongside, who was a big typical hero, keeps getting his ass handed to him and starts feeling more and more inadequate next to Cyborg. And then it turns out that he's been enslaving a witch to try to give himself glory. He first was like, I want an army to beat, and he couldn't beat the army. So he's like, well, help me beat this army. And the witch brought Cyborg.
Right.
The witch, I love her design. I think she is adorable, warts and all. She doesn't get a lot of speaking. I like her because she's obviously not really agreeing to this.
Right.
Like, I think he's got something on her, some power over her, and she obviously...
He basically awakened her, and so it's
so like a genie.
It's the genie in the bottle thing. She basically grants him his wishes, but with a catch kind of thing.
Yes. Anyway, she's cute, obviously resents him.
Right.
We don't know what happens to her after everything.
No, in all honesty...
I guess she just goes on and does her own thing. They could have brought that back.
Yeah, I feel like there could have been a... It's funny how you have this powerful witch in ancient times.
Reality bending,
yep, that can pull people from the future into the past. And she's more just like an agent of nature, like a force of nature that can be bent towards people in one way or the other. She doesn't seem like she has her own agenda or goals.
Other than I think she wanted to make...
I guess
she hero would, guy suffer a little.
Yeah, it's clear that she doesn't like him. I think the only thing she really wanted is just to be free in general.
Yes, which probably wouldn't be a good thing.
Right.
I suspect she'd be very chaotic if left to her own devices.
Right. And so basically...
Which she would be by the end of that.
Pretty much, because what happens is that Cyborg is beating this guy, even when he's like at 7% or less than 10% power. And so she basically just sticks her green insectoids onto him. And he
not on
the cyborg.
We should have written down that.
I should have written down the hero. He was also pretty bland too, to be fair.
Yes, I got the chief. Her name's Saracen.
Yeah.
And then my other favorite background character is the dude with the hammer.
Oh yeah, dude with the hammer is great. Yeah, like he definitely gave it a little bit more personality. Anyway, so the faux hero, I'll call him. He basically transformed into a giant hulking green dude.
Kind of a boring design.
Yeah. And so then they
attack. The boring aspects about 3000 BC, huh?
Mm-hmm. And then they attack the village. Cyborg gets a little bit of a power up because of the
hydroelectric.
Yeah,
hydroelectric. Like, we're not so primitive, are we? And it's like, yeah, no, you are.
Yeah.
Make me a car.
I can make a car out of all of this. Anyway, and so so he's fighting, and he lines up the shot to defeat the monster. But as soon as he does so, Raven's claw comes in through the portal, picks up Cyborg, and takes him back to the present. And basically,
things were looking grim for the barbarian humans at that point.
And he was pretty bummed because by the time he got to the present, he's like, he wasn't sure if the tribe survived or not. Nothing in the present seems to have changed from his interaction.
I mean, this was magic time travel. It tends to be a little safer.
Yeah. Also, it is revealed that Raven has time traveling powers, or at least, like,
she can open time portals.
Yeah. It sounded like it was, like, a, quote, one-way ticket or whatever. Like, yeah. Cyborg wanted her to bring him back, and she's like,
I had to sacrifice Silky. We can't do that again.
There's only one Silky. He needs one Silky, and we used up our one Silky. which leads to a very touching moment. We don't really get a lot of Raven and Cyborg moments, but this is one of the few times in the series that we do. Because he basically is pretty bummed that he doesn't know what happened to the village.
And he has a nice sword, and he hangs that up, and he puts his stone armor that he got up on the display. His bedroom does have sports, by the way.
Yeah. It's definitely improved a little bit since we last saw it. It definitely has a little bit more
humanity
in it.
Comfort.
Yeah. And so Raven brings in a book, and she's like, oh, I can help you here, because, you know, she loves reading, and she has a knack for history.
She's a huge nerd.
And so she's like, I've done some research, and I think she was, like, gleefully excited that she could do some, like, excuse for some research, and but couldn't show up because that's a Raven. And she was like, oh, that's Cyborg. Because basically she opens up the book and it's like a painting of the final battle.
Yes, where Saracen looked exactly as she did 3,000 years ago, which is weird.
Yeah. Well,
because nobody would have been able to, like, create an image of her that would translate to modern day.
I would say it wouldn't be weird if it wasn't for the fact that they drew Cyborg, like, the way he does in the painting. Because he's entirely shirtless. He looks like a regular dude without the robot parts. And Raven's like, what's this all about? They painted you like this, and
you're the only warrior with no armor.
Yeah. And he goes something like, I didn't need it, or something like that. Bullshit. Yeah. Because he was wearing his armor.
He was wearing armor. He was wearing the stone armor.
Yeah, which I was very confused about.
They had this whole thing about, like, Cyborg telling Serafina that he couldn't remove his armor, and she said something about what makes a true warrior. I don't know. I zoned out.
Yeah. And so, anyway, as you can see from our discussion here, this episode has some flaws. I feel like there's a
pretty much anything involving Serafina.
Right. I feel like there's a making of a good episode here.
Yeah, no, there was a lot I liked about it, but the Serafina stuff really just brings it down.
Yeah.
Like, you know how cool it would have been if she just existed without a romance?
Right.
Like, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But there you have it.
So, Cyborg's girlfriends this season. A lady from a Spanish soap opera.
Oh, yeah.
And a woman, the chief of an ancient tribe. Got an unlucky taste in women, is what I'm sensing.
he gets around. Killer Tofu!
All right, Employee of the Month.
Employee of the Month!
Which has been an episode that stayed with me.
Mary has been looking forward to this for a long time now. I think you've been talking about this since, like, the first few episodes.
It's really nice.
No, I'm not faulting you at all. No. I'm just like...
I had entirely forgotten the opening.
Oh, and that was funny because I didn't forget about the opening at all. Like, as soon as we... Because the opening's basically, it opens up on a farm scene, and it just seems really chill, and then all of a sudden...
the UFO comes.
Yep.
And there's the two farmers are just watching it. The pigs are in the mud.
Yeah.
And then the UFO comes and picks up a cow. And then the two old people open up, shred their costume to reveal that Starfire and Robin. And he says, Titans, go. And the Scarecrow turns out to be Raven. And the pig turns out to be Beast Boy. And then Cyborg jumps out of the cow and is like, Booyah!
Booyah! And then they fight the spaceship. And it's so ridiculous.
And then, of course, the Japanese.
And it was a Japanese intro. Yeah. It's like, you know, instantly, based on this setup that... It's ridiculous. Put all your serious expectations at the door. We're going to have a fun time here.
Yes. So the chase makes Beast Boy realize he is really out of shape and would like a mode of transportation.
Right, because Robin gets a Robin suit?
The R-cycle. He has the R-cycle and flying suit that looks like from that anime, I forget the name of, with the people with the bird helmets.
Yes,
and the
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, it does look like that. And he basically just has his own.
It's a straight up ripoff. It's not even like a little homage. It's like he was on the team somehow.
Right. And so basically, Beast Boy's trying to keep up, but since they're going at, like, you know, airplane speeds and he's just an animal, they can only go animal speeds. He's having trouble keeping up. And so basically it finally kind of leads to his drive in this episode.
Yes.
Which he wants to get a moped.
Yes. Also we, before anything else happens, after the UFO gets away from them, Cyborg's like, just in time for breakfast. And they're right by a place called Mega Meaty Meat.
Oh my god. Like, that whole restaurant is just, without knowing, like, that the twist that the meat is just tofu.
New foo.
Is the most disgusting thing ever. And they really just kind of lean into that disgusting factor.
It's just meat.
Yeah.
It's just meat.
It is just so disgusting. They talk about, like, the menu is basically looks like something from a butcher. And Beast Boy says, like, we don't have, like, shakes, we have meat shakes or something like that. And you have meat fries and
meat
everything.
Juice.
Meat juice, that's what it is. Thank you. Like, everything is made of meat. And of course, this just bothers Beast Boy down to the core, his core essence, because he's a vegetarian and he just hates everything about it. And that's where a lot of the big humor of the show comes from.
Yes, like there's a whole montage that I'd erased from my memory because it was such a waste of time. Beast Boy decides he wants a moped.
Mm-hmm.
Calls it the B-ped.
Mm-hmm.
He first talks to Robin basically to ask if it's in the budget. And Robin's just like, you can fly. You don't need a moped.
Right.
But that also raises an interesting question about the budget, which apparently Cyborg abused last episode.
Right. Also, Beast Boy basically gave up his arguing against Robin. As soon as Robin said, you can fly, Beast Boy's just like, all right.
And he said, yeah, my arms get tired.
Oh, he does, yeah. But he doesn't
and he
really...
sulks off.
Yeah. He should have definitely kind
he
of
He goes
like...
to Cyborg to ask if Cyborg could build him one. Cyborg's like, nah, I gotta rebuild this cow.
But he does seem willing to fix it. He didn't make him a moped. He didn't outright say no to him. I want to make that clear. Cyborg did not actually say no to Beast Boy.
Yes.
Which makes me think is if, hypothetically, they had beaten this situation and they had a little bit more free time, I could totally imagine Cyborg being like, moped? Yeah, I can knock that off in an afternoon
for you. Do you think he made the R-cycle or that's a Wayne Industries thing?
I feel like that's totally a Wayne Industries thing.
Yes. Daddy got Robin a bike.
Yeah, I know, right? Poor Beast Boy.
Yeah. Doesn't have that privilege.
Doesn't have that privilege or the know-how to make his own bike, so...
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, right. He called it the Psy Cow, didn't he?
Yeah. The cow was so funny, like...
I hope it comes back up if it's going to be... Do you think they were, like, they thought of merchandising it? The Psy Cow?
The Psy Cow.
You get the T-car and the Psy Cow and the R-cycle.
You can press the button and the back of the cow opens up and Cyborg springs out of it. It's like a little spring trap. Ooh, that would have been great. Like, and then it just comes up. Good times.
Yes. So, yeah, we have... So, Raven suggests that he get a part-time job, which raises some more questions about, like, these kids having normal lives. Do they have an allowance? Do they have an education? And then we just push that aside and go into a silly montage where Beast Boy tries out a bunch of different jobs and fails. And finally, as a last resort, goes to Mega Meaty Meat, where a cheerful dude called Bob, who keeps calling Beast Boy the wrong name...
That was so funny.
...hires... Beast Boy almost walks out, but then he tells... Oh, yeah, Andy loves the animation there.
I love that. I had to pause the episode. Yeah, sorry, please go
on. Bob says, "Say, do you like mopeds?"
And then Beast Boy just, like, does a 180 with his head, like a dramatic hamster. Like, it's so funny. And he just looks at him with, like, grit determination.
Eyes narrowed.
Yeah. And Bob says, like, if you're the employee of the month, you get your own moped. And Beast Boy's like, all right. And he's the only employee there.
Yeah, and the job turns out to be really easy because pretty much everything on the menu is the same thing anyway.
But I want to say, real quickly, that dramatic hamster scene is probably the funniest scene. Definitely, like, I think, I want to say it's, like, the top five funniest scenes in the Teen Titans series so far.
Right.
I don't know.
It's a shame we can't share it on a podcast.
I mean, it's part of it is the look. You don't see the expression.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, it is definitely, like, one of the funniest scenes in Teen Titans. I just laughed so hard at that. That was definitely, like, top moment for me right
also
there.
Also, the help wanted sign in the window said human help wanted.
Human help wanted.
So if there haven't been enough hints at how weird everything is, yeah, it turns out it's a front for an alien invasion. I don't know why they're giving people meat.
Yeah, no, they never explain it. Because the thing is that Bob, turns out, he's basically the son of the new tofu overlord, tofu alien. It's very much like, this is a horrible example, but it's very much like Full Metal Alchemist, where father basically creates all the different homunculi through his own essence. I don't know. Poor example. But basically, all the Bobs are basically created from...
Bob is tofu. Bob turns his own tofu into meat.
Yeah. And then they feed the populace.
And I guess it makes them placid or not notice or...
I don't know. Then
or keeps them from eating the cows?
I don't know because they never explained why they opened a restaurant in the first place.
Yes. But the point is, there's no way that Beast Boy was going to fail at this job because aliens don't know what they want.
Right. No, yeah, exactly.
In like, customer service.
They didn't train Beast Boy at all.
Like, I am pretty sure money never exchanged hands.
Right. It is a really terrible business overall. It is, frankly, amazing that they even got... They're able to laugh. I guess the new food just tastes so good, you know? Like,
yes.
Anyway, this is an episode to clearly not think about.
Yes. But easier to not think about than the 4th of July episode, yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, so, yes, some good jokes are had from... Mega Meaty Meat, and the Titans popping over to see Beast Boy at his job.
And everyone's, like, wondering, like...
There's, like, a horrible steak mascot that repeats, "It's me, Tastic!"
Raven is not amused at it. It's so funny. Yeah, it turns out, like, as you said, Mary, like, they are kidnapping cows to power their spaceships and death machine.
Yep. So, anyway, Beast Boy is stuck at work while the Titans deal with the UFO thing, because he couldn't keep up before. What difference does it make that he's not there now?
Right.
So, they do manage to take UFO down. Find out it's being powered by a cow.
And they're very confused about it.
Yeah, although Starfire says, tells them to be careful because the cow people of Garland 5 are, I guess, not to be underestimated, which, interesting world building there.
They always like to throw in, like, these things for Starfire.
Andy, there are aliens that are just straight up cows.
You know, it'd be crazy if they were if they also called Tamaranians trucks.
Oh god, racist cows!
Wouldn't that be awful?
Yes, oh yes, my it would god. Be. So anyway, it's up to Beast Boy because he figures out what's going on when he tries to go into the storeroom. Oh, he meets Nufu, who is just a cube with an adorable voice. Voiced by...
He talks like this all the time!
Voiced by...
The Yakko?
Yeah, Paul something?
Yeah, he also does the Pinky voice, too.
Yeah. Paul something with an M.
Paul Giamatti. No, that's the actor.
Maybe it's not Paul.
I don't know, but we can use,
Yeah, we should probably edit it.
I'll put it in, like, an electronic voice that says his name.
yes, it's...
Rob Paulson.
Yeah, great actor.
Great voice actor. Anyway, so, Beast Boy kidnaps the tofu, takes it back to Titan's Tower, interrogates it.
And threatens to eat it.
Yes, because it's tofu.
Yeah.
Or Nufu.
He basically splashed barbecue sauce.
No. He's not made of soybeans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's not.
Also,
alive then.
One line that stayed with me for some reason is Nufu going, "I am the source."
This is such a great villain. I love it. This is an episode that it's just stuck with me, and I just loved it because giving Beast Boy a tofu villain is just.
Pretty funny.
Great, hilarious, good potential. Like, and they definitely just freaking ran with it. A tofu alien that kidnaps cows, that opens up its own meat-only restaurant, and is actually serving the customers tofu.
Wait, so is the meat juice just liquid Nufu?
I guess.
And as though meat juice wasn't more gross.
You just squeeze a little Nufu, and it just like little droplets come out.
It's the pickle juice.
Ugh. Okay. Anyway, so he basically splashes barbecue sauce on the alien overlord. And when he does that, then it gets kind of demented a little bit, in my opinion, because it's like, Beast Boy's going to straight up eat this guy, you know?
His talking thing.
Yeah, and like, once he puts the barbecue sauce on it, it's like, you almost feel kind of bad for him, because then he starts quivering with fear about what to do. And the alien overlord quickly gives in and tells him to basically spray water on all the bobs. And
he tells him how to turn off the machine and rescue the cows. I don't think he needed to be told how to rescue the cows.
Right.
You just, like, pop them out.
Right.
Anyway, so Beast Boy goes, steals the moped.
Yeah.
And gets to work.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. He stole the moped when he kidnapped Nufu.
Yes. Yes. And this is happening while the rest of the Titans are trying to hunt down all the spaceships.
And Beast Boy gets to be really cool without turning into animals.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that. Because basically, like, he would shoot down some bobs, and they would all turn into cubes, like that. And then
Save some cows.
He would go, and, like, it's a hilarious kind of, like, a rotation, because he would go to the death machine, and he'd be like, because he's super nervous about turning it off, that he goes, I'll just deal with that later. I'm going to go take care of more bobs. Which is like classic.
Right. I think we forgot to mention they were also going to destroy the planet, not just steal the cows.
Right.
For no reason. It's, we are Nufu. It is our way.
Yes. Which is like, to me, classic. Like when I was watching the scene, I was like, this is like classic procrastination right here. Like, I'm feeling this. Like, there's this big, really scary, really big task that you got to do. But I want you to do other things first that are much more easy to do. And so it's just basically a lot of that. Like, you just keep rotating back and forth. And once all the bobs have basically been turned back to cubes, he finally goes and he very easily and without any...
It's an on-off switch.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. He switches it off and it's done.
Yeah, that is very ADHD. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, dang. Why was I putting this off?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it just screams ADHD to me. And
I'd been assuming that it was because he'd had such a bad track record with technology.
I mean, that feeds into it.
Yeah, the anxiety.
All you have to do for the bobs is just shoot them with a water gun and they turn into cubes. So, given the choice, you'd be like, yeah.
Anyway.
Water gun.
Beast Boy saves the day. The Titans come back. And he explains everything to them. And again, one of my favorite things is they don't disbelieve him.
Yes. I know, it's great. They don't say, like, that's weird or that's kind of stupid.
And they're
or,
like, where is Nufu now? And then Beast Boy's like, in the fridge, and Cyborg's got an empty plate and is chewing something.
Like, what? Oh, delicious.
Covered in barbecue sauce, I understand.
I know, it's really funny. Which tells me that Cyborg probably doesn't mind the taste of tofu. I guess we don't really know what alien overlord tastes like.
Also, it was smothered in barbecue sauce.
It's true.
And it might have tasted like meaty meat.
Right. Also, can I just say, Beast Boy was like, he first covered
him. And then the like moped falls apart and I think Cyborg says they'll fix it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know that Beast Boy is writing that thing later for in later episodes.
Which is really nice. But also, I was about to say, like, Beast Boy was going to cover the alien overlord with soy sauce as well.
As well as barbecue sauce.
And when he said he was going to do that, I was like, ugh, no.
Well, that's a nice combo.
Is it?
Well, you know how we did the pulled pork with the rice and the soy sauce all the time, right?
Mmm.
It's tasty.
I guess so. Anyway, employee of the month. Yes. Really fun episode. Really iconic. We've been talking about it for so long and looking forward to it. And we finally got to see it. And I have to say, it is... You go into it, you know, like, nostalgia paints that picture of, like, it being funny and it's not as funny as you remembered it. Like, this is as funny as I remembered it to be. Like, it is pretty hilarious. And I just love all the moments in this episode and how gross everything was. That was pretty great.
Submit to my greatness and I might just spare your pathetic... What is this?
Lunch. And I just happen to be in the mood for a nutritious meat-free substitute.
Really? You're just trying to scare me!
Am I? Say hello to my good friend, Barbecue Sauce.
Stop! The secret is water! Nufu reverts to his normal state in the presence of water! Please don't eat me!
That's more like it. Now let's talk cows.
Okay, so we basically have a mood whiplash in terms of episodes here. Going from a really funny, really lighthearted
episode. An episode that's title is a slur.
Yeah.
A made-up slur. But still
kind of odd, but I guess...
I mean, they're not thinking of it from the perspective of Starfire watching the
show. I
know,
right? If Starfire was watching the show, she'd be like, what? Anyway, this episode basically starts off with this superhero from outer space named Val Yor.
Evading in his rocket ship and somehow ending up on Earth where the Titans, like, watch him from the roof.
Yeah.
And do a lot of commentary and immediately know he's the good guy because he's the one running from the two bad ships.
Yeah, and he blows him up. Yeah, I know. That's definitely a big leap of logic there that they assume that
he was the underdog. He was the one on the run. Ergo, you...
Cheer for the underdog.
Yeah.
That's fair. But
there is a lot of assumptions being made in this one, which
is
more noticeable because of being the racism episode, I'd say.
Yeah. So Valyor, he crash lands the ship. He meets the Titans. He's basically very... He's built very much like the Bruce Timm style of superheroes, like that, which is
buff, big chin,
big fucking
very
chest.
Very wide shoulders.
Yeah, like you could change up his art style a little and he would fit right into the Justice League universe. Like, it's very...
Anime.
Yeah, it's that style of him. And basically he comes out, he's cocky, like, initially, you know...
Yeah, he's like your standard... Like, space swashbuckler. Space hero.
Yeah. He's cocky.
Like Ace Rimmer.
But he seems to mean well.
Shout out to anyone who appreciates that reference.
I do not know that one. But yeah, he seems to mean well. Like, and so he's talking to everyone. He seems very friendly.
Yeah, immediately gets along with all the Titans. The Titans get along with him, except for one thing.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I see you have a Tamaranian on your team.
And Robin's like, yep, she's pretty great. And...
Yeah, Tamaranians are cool.
And so basically, Valyor explains to them all that he was evading these alien species. What did he call them?
Locrix.
Locrix, yes.
And he keeps referring them to them as Crixies, which I'm pretty sure is another slur.
Yeah.
Or it's like referring to the enemy, like,
Yeah, like, what do you call them? Like the Krauts?
Yeah.
For Germans, for instance. Yeah, pretty much. He's been throwing, he was throwing around some, like, nicknames, to put it mildly, for all these people. Which, honestly, I think he shows a clip of the Locrix basically attacking species and really amping up that they're...
like a nice slideshow.
Like that they're bad alien race, that they should be stopped. And Mary and I, we were kind of like on the same wavelength. We were kind of wondering like, is this in...
I could have sworn I remembered like there was a twist where it turned out the scary aliens actually were just protecting themselves kind of deal.
Right. It's almost like Ender's Game in a way.
Which I have not read.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, where they basically go right towards the planet itself and blow it up.
That's what you mean.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering, is this going to be the same thing where, you know, once they realize that Valyor is racist against Tamaranians, that these Locrix are also, like, not bad people.
Well, they question his assessment of them, yes.
Yeah, and that, like, but his assessment of them turned out to be accurate.
We assume.
I guess so, we assume.
Because the whole thing is, every attack is defensive action, because he is planning to genocide them.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, again, since this is a kid's show, they literally were, like, an evil race that was going to wipe out everything else in the universe, because they were racist, too.
Right. Clearly, pretty much, I mean, except for the opening scene, where he's the one being attacked by them, and all the other... fights against them, they're the ones leading the charge. And so the aliens are kind of acting more defensively. Well,
no, they also try to get on the ship to, you know, stop the warhead that's being taken to their planet.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, so they go to space to go help him on his mission. And they all, like, he gives all of them something to do to keep them busy, like, you know, piloting or manning the guns and... doesn't give Starfire anything to do.
Yeah, she's like, am I going to get a role as well?
And then they get attacked.
And then they get attacked. And so basically, Cyborg is manning the ship. And everyone else goes to defend the hull from being breached, from the warhead from being taken away or triggered. And so he's basically throwing compliments left and right, giving orders to everyone left and right, except for Starfire. And then finally when Starfire makes, like, she accidentally, like, I think...
hits an enemy against the on button, or just against the warhead, and it makes it light up for a second and calm back down.
Yeah. And then he shouts, watch it, Trocky, and then she's like, and then...
No, he doesn't call her a name yet.
No?
No.
When does he...
When the battle's over, she goes to apologize. And he's like, I don't need help from a... I think he calls her a dirty truck.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I remember
distinctly that is when we cut to commercial.
Right, that's what it is. Thank you. I don't know why I didn't remember that, right?
Also, his eyes are glowing red at that point, which they don't usually, except that he shoots lasers at them.
Oh, yeah, that's right, he does.
But anyway, Starfire keeps it to herself.
Right. I feel like this is the first... If there were improvements they could have made with this episode, this could have been the first scene that they could have changed. In that, if Beast Boy, especially Beast Boy, but if Beast Boy, Robin, or Raven made mistakes... They didn't, but if they did make mistakes...
Oh, and didn't get called out on
them. Get called out
Yes, on that's...
I feel like that would have, improved it a little bit more.
Yes, you're right.
Like... Beast Boy, again, because it's very easy for him to do something. Like, if he accidentally hit Valyor or whatever, he'd be like, oh, that's okay, Spore. You know, this thing's happened. Like, just watch your back, you know?
A good addition.
Yeah. So, that'd be my first probably suggested improvement. But anyway, so then we cut to commercial break. We come back.
He's given every Titan a nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Robin is Spike. Cyborg is Metal Butt, which I feel like is its own kind of offensive, but we'll pass. Raven is Sunshine, and Beast Boy is Champ.
Yeah. The Raven as Sunshine is like...
Yeah.
Perfect, I think.
Yeah.
Beast Boy as Champ is very...
funny.
Yeah. And so then they are getting close to the planet. They then get to basically a huge planet-wide minefield. And he turns to Starfire and he goes, why don't you be the one to clear up the mines? And she's like...
Since Tamaradians are good in harsh conditions or...
Right.
In the harsh conditions of space.
Yeah. And so I think she calls him out on it. Like,
no, she gives him a look, I think.
No, she calls him out like, why don't you do it instead since you are so great and powerful? And he's
like, of course I could do it.
He goes, but I gotta be in here, you know, making sure everything's good and watch over everything. So he's definitely sending Starfire.
And he is
in.
Openly calling her slurs in front of all the Titans at this point, too.
Yeah, and they don't even know that she's calling. Because
he's giving them all nicknames and they don't know the word.
Right. And so...
Then I feel like one of them should have noticed that Starfire wasn't her usual sunny self.
Right. Which Cyborg did.
Yes.
Because he kind of walks up to her and he goes like... Hey, you know, is everything okay? Like, I noticed he's calling you Trock, and what's that all about? And she goes, oh, it means nothing. And without further elaborating, Starfire gets out into space to clear the minefields. She triggers one of the mines, but she managed to push it away before all the other mines
and
triggered.
Not get killed.
She doesn't get killed. She comes back.
There's a moment where... Valior thinks she's died and looks pretty happy about it.
Yeah. But then she comes in through the radio and everyone's like, woo, except for him. She comes back. And I think it's going to be best if we just play the scene. So take a listen.
Way to go, Trocky.
You do not call me that.
But Valior calls you Troc all the time.
That does not make it right.
What's up? I thought you said it didn't mean anything.
No, I said it means nothing. When Valior calls me Trock, he is saying that I am worthless. A nothing.
Star.
There are those on other planets who feel Tamaranians are inferior. Trock is what they call us.
So he's calling you a terrible name. And you know that if you punch him out, it'll just confirm all the bad stuff he thinks about you.
Yes. You know what it feels like to be judged simply because of how you look?
Of course I do. I'm part robot. Let's go find Robin.
So.
Yeah.
Overall, it's a pretty good scene, except for one really, like, big elephant in the room.
I know. Like, I'm sure you guys heard it too, but I was like, ugh. Yeah. You want to say it or do you want me to say it? Like...
Cyborg is black.
Yes.
When he says, of course I do, everybody's like, yes, he is used to racial discrimination, not...
Yeah.
Not cyborg discrimination.
Not being a robot. Like, if they just stopped at, of course I do...
Yes.
And not say anything else...
Not to mention, Starfire's prompt before that was so specific, because she said... Have you faced prejudice because of the way you look?
Yeah.
As if she had said, like, because of the way you were born, he wouldn't have been able to do the cyborg thing.
Right, yeah. That is true. Didn't think of it like that. But yeah, if he just said, of course I do, and just ended it there.
Yes.
The scene would have been carried a lot more, like, heaviness without outright stating it, you know?
Yes. There is it might have been because the censors were uncomfortable with the idea of actual racism in an episode about fantasy racism.
Right.
Because there is, like, there's this thing with kids shows. You can't bum them out with reality.
Right.
But, so it might have been they felt like it would have been too much to even imply racism, so they had to throw in the part robot thing.
Which, unfortunately, doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
Because there's... little, if at all, evidence in the entire series of people displaying prejudice against Cyborg for being a robot, except for those specific episodes on him.
Yes.
I guess...
Oh, God, that would suck, though, if they had episodes where people were like, ah, get away from me, you robot man.
Really, it was like Fixit that had it. Yes. And he thinks his human side's, like, imperfections.
Also, when he infiltrated the Hive Academy, and, you know, there was that part where Cyborg called him normal.
Yeah.
When he was disguised as Stone, and that was really insensitive.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he talks about, you know, he lost his chance at a normal life, but...
But we don't outright see it. Like, do you remember in that Fix-It episode, there's a kid who's like, "Hey, Cyborg, I'm just like you." And he has, yeah, like, a robotic hand. He doesn't... His friend is there. The kid's friend is there. He doesn't seem bothered. The kid doesn't seem bothered. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Seems pretty normal. Seems pretty, yes, like, chill here. Like...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because they added that
line,
part robot...
It undermines it.
It undermines it, because we have not seen this kind of prejudice against
him. Like, Cyborg's got all his cool superhero friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody racisming against him.
So really, like, except I guess, shoot, what's his name? Gizmo. But he insults everyone.
Yeah.
So really, that's my second edit to this episode. If they just taken out "I'm part robot," that would have been much better.
Yeah. But also, I do read it as Cyborg just not wanting to get into it also.
Mm.
He says, "Of course I do." And he's like, "Oh, God, I don't want to explain human racism to this alien."
It's like, "I'm part robot. Let's just leave it at that."
Yeah. Anyway, so they immediately tell Robin, whose reaction is, "I am going to kick this man's ass." So,
yes. I love it.
Good job, Robin.
I love it how all their team members are immediately like, "Okay, this guy's an asshole." Like, yes. He keeps calling our friend a slur. And so the Teen Titans
and
are basically
being mean to her for no reason.
Right. The Teen Titans decide to be the bigger people and finish the mission, and just, you know, once they're done, they're just going to get out and not be in contact with this man anymore.
So the mission involves Valior wearing the warhead like a backpack.
I know, this is so, like, what?
It's like, it's not a backpack size thing. It's like, just imagine, like, what you think a warhead would look like this big sort of rocket shaped thing, and he's just got that.
It's way bigger than him.
Short side down, strapped to his back, going all the way out.
Yeah, and there's parts of the moment where he's dragging the warhead on the ground.
Yes. And it's like, okay, if somebody knocking against it was going to set it off, please don't do that, dude.
Yeah, like, this... And then Starfire is like, "Let me help you." And he's like, "No, I don't want help from a stinking truck." And
she keeps, like, helping him.
Yeah, God. Even me saying the word truck makes me feel uncomfortable.
The T word.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, and so... Nicely done. The rest of the, like, the members are like, "You guys, like, Starfire is one of us. We're all in this together." And basically Starfire helps Valior to the center of the base. They get to the center and basically they trip like a shield of some kind, or Valior does, I should say.
Yeah. I think it was a trap.
Yeah, it was pretty much a trap. And he gets stuck behind, like, a force field.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting electrified and all that. And
he's dying. He's going to go with the whole planet if he stays there.
And Starfire's like, "Let me help you, please." And
and does the whole take my hand thing, too.
And he's like, "No, I don't want to take your hand." And she goes, "You may not value my life, but I value yours." And she basically...
Which, that would only work with Starfire, I gotta say. Maybe, you know, Beast Boy, but...
It's definitely Starfire.
Starfire is definitely that kind of person, I'm okay with that line there.
It's one of those lines where only, like the characters that are, like, really mean it, that are pure of heart, and, like, really,
Starfire,
like...
Starfire is definitely pure of heart.
Like, that definitely... There's another example of this, too. I know we talked about, like, a month ago or so, which is a bad example, but I know there are other... I know of other shows that... You know, like K.O. from OK K.O., like when he's spouting about, you know,
the power of friendship.
Or taking care of your body or whatever. Like, you know, like, this means well from K.O. because he know that he's a good-hearted kid.
Yes.
If it was Rad who was saying it, then it would come off as sarcastic.
Condescending,
exactly.
One of those.
So, good line from Starfire.
Yes.
She takes him back. Planet explodes. The evil alien race, as we are continuing to believe, is dead.
We choose to.
And basically the Teen Titans tell Valior, like, "We don't want you here anymore. You should just leave."
I think they tell him to apologize.
Oh, yeah.
And he does one of those half-assed. Right, you're one of the good ones.
Yeah.
At least you didn't do that. I'm sorry I offended you one.
Yeah. I do like it. It just
he's
shows.
Like, you know, I'm complimenting you. And Raven's like, then why doesn't it sound like one? Or yeah, something like that.
That's a really good ending scene, in all honesty.
Yes.
So I like it how it's just like, this guy's not going to change his ways. I mean.
Yeah. So the takeaway from this is, don't put up with people being racist to your friend.
Yeah.
Which
is always good.
Yes. It's a nice message. It kind of does a lead by example thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very strong. Yeah. But there's only so much you can do in kids shows, which I would argue is a good reason to just leave it alone or put it in more, like, subtly.
Right.
But I don't know. It's not a bad episode.
No. It could have. It's been hampered by a few things. I feel like it could be.
Fantastic racism is always difficult. So it's worse to get Bright, where the everything's just so confused that it doesn't have a message at all.
Right.
At best, you get something like Zootopia.
Yeah.
Where they just have good, like, parallels to actual racism that you can apply to real life.
Right.
This probably goes more on the Zootopia side of the scale.
It does. It does. In the way it's handling yes. it.
Because, you know, Starfire is a good choice to have. One, I mean, obviously because she's an alien, but also she is the sweetest, nicest character. So when somebody's being mean to her, you know, it's like she definitely doesn't deserve that.
Mm-hmm. So, overall, not a bad episode. I wouldn't say it's, like, one of the best, but I think...
And I wouldn't say that they shouldn't have made it, even.
Yeah, I feel like they set up a goal to, you know, create, like, a very... you know, poignant...
basic.
...episode about, you know, racism. And I think they handled it relatively fine.
Yes.
Again, from our limited, like, perspective here. Yes. Things they could have improved on, like we've already mentioned, but... all right.
It definitely didn't... it's not... I wouldn't call it too offensive.
Right.
And that might actually be the problem in some ways. There's really no good... there's very few good ways to do this.
No, there's not.
Anyway, everybody, don't be racist.
Yes, that is
racism is bad.
Right. Now that
it
we
makes
got
Starfire sad.
Now that we got that message across, overall, like we mentioned earlier, these are three episodes, each centered on a different Teen Titan. Which was your favorite? Which was your least favorite?
I think we're going to agree, huh?
Yep. His favorite is the...
Cyborg the Barbarian.
Yeah.
Nice Cyborg episode.
Everything else falls...
some tropes that made me mad.
Yeah. Everything else falls apart, unfortunately. Just overused tropes. Flat characters.
Weird history building for the DC Universe.
Yeah, exactly. Best episode, though.
Employee of the Month.
Employee of the Month. Yeah.
Just a good time.
Total agreement here. Very fun, very just, like, nice, frenetic, comedically paced episode.
Yes.
Really great overall.
Oh, I want to take a moment to mention, at the start of the season, the animation's been a little different. It might be episode to episode, but yeah, sometimes the facial expressions just hit a lot better.
The facial expressions have been doing a lot better. Kind of like that Beast Boy moment I talked earlier.
Yes.
Like, oof, that was good. That was great. I know this is a bit different, but since this is, I just have to ask this question. Which do you think was the strongest episode for this Teen Titan episode, like a Teen Titan centered episode?
Strongest?
Yeah, like, so we got, like, the Cyborg episode, the Beast Boy episode, and the Starfire.
For the character?
For the character. Which do you think was best for the character there?
The Cyborg the Barbarian, then.
I would agree with that, again.
It was a character exploration, like you said, that was different from his usual... duality.
Man or machine, right.
I mean, it was still a little like what it means to be a true warrior or some crap, but it was just nice to have Cyborg, you know, getting to be cool.
Yeah.
Usually the ones where he's exploring his own humanity are ones where he's being tormented pretty badly. In this one, he was slowly dying in the past, admittedly, but at least he could do stuff.
I really like that. I thought that was great. I thought there was, you know, I wish that just... they kind of, I don't know, this, but yes, I agree. Beast Boy, his kind of thing was more like, I'm working at a place that serves meat, and this goes against everything I stand for, but I really want that.
Yeah, it wasn't really a Beast Boy study.
Yeah.
It was more of a, let's have something nice for Beast Boy.
Yeah, and he gets his moped. And then Starfire has that whole racism bag, which is...
Yes. Which she thinks so, too.
Yes.
It brought up some interesting world-building things, like just racism against another species is pretty commonplace.
Yeah.
They don't usually have slurs for them, but it's like, oh, we hate these guys because they're killing everyone. And it's like...
Yeah. I know. I feel like... I don't know.
Did we talk about... we played the clip, but how Trock means nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well...
They're definitely not nothing.
Yeah, they're super strong, they shoot... I mean, maybe they don't all do that?
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like that the word nothing just doesn't translate well for how awesome the Tamaranians are.
Maybe it actually means something cruder that they couldn't say.
Mmm. But that note, everyone, thank you very much for listening to our podcast episode. We hope you enjoyed it. I always have fun recording these episodes. I'm looking forward to when it cools off again. We had to turn off all our ACs and fan to make sure that we didn't pick it up in the background. And now it is about 80 degrees, I think, in our living room right now. So we're going to go turn on the fan and AC. But everyone, thank you again so much for listening. We hope you have a great day. We hope you...
Shout out to Rachel.
Yeah, our friend Rachel, yes. Who's listening to this and telling us that we're doing a great job, which is always appreciated. All right, everyone, take care and have a lovely night.
Bye.